Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
President Trump clashes with top officials on the timing for a coronavirus vaccine.
Global stocks drop after the Fed highlights uncertainty about the economic rebound.
And more details emerge on the potential tie-up between Oracle and TikTok.
After announcing staff furloughs, New York Mayor de Blasio says a citywide furlough is on the table in union talks, plus the damage from Hurricane Sally. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another offensive explosion for the red-hot Yankees. A comeback win for the Mets in the U.S. Open Golf begins today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And global stocks are falling after the latest policy decision from the Fed. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 33 points this morning. Dow futures down 239. NASDAQ futures down 97. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. CAC in Paris down 0.7%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 0.68%. The yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 4 cents at $40.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.2% or $23 at $1947.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1799 against the dollar. The yen 104.75. John.
And more on the markets in just a minute. But first, we're hearing conflicting messages out of D.C. on the timeline for a coronavirus vaccine. For the very latest, we bring in Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield tells a Senate hearing that a vaccine could be available by next spring or summer.
If you're asking me when is it going to be generally available to the American public, I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
That contradicts President Trump's claims of a vaccine by October or early November. The president says Dr. Redfield may be confused.
I believe that if you ask him, he would probably say that he didn't understand the question.
Meanwhile, in an interview with Bloomberg, Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says a vaccine might exist by the end of this year.
By the end of 2020, namely November or December, I feel reasonably confident that there will be one or more vaccines that will be begun to be made available to the American public.
But he says it likely won't be widely available until the end of next year. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Meantime, President Trump is weighing in on the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok.
It has to be 100% as far as national security is concerned. And no, I'm not prepared to sign off on anything. I have to see the deal. We need security, especially after what we've seen with respect to China and what's going on. We want security. So I'll let you know. They're going to be reporting to me tomorrow morning, and I will let you know.
Now we have new details on the proposed partnership between Oracle and TikTok. Sources tell us Oracle would gain full access to TikTok's source code to make sure there are no backdoors to gather data on American users. TikTok would also hire an independent board approved by the U.S. government.
It was quite a Wall Street debut for Snowflake. Shares of the software company more than doubled, giving it a market value above $70 billion. We spoke with CEO Frank Slootman.
The IPO is a price discovery process, and we were after a very specific set of institutional investors, people that can hold multi-billion-dollar positions that are willing to hold down for, you know, 5 to 10 years, and also people that don't chase momentum either up or down.
With yesterday's surge, Snowflake is now more valuable than Dell, General Motors, and Uber.
For many banks, the push to get workers back in the office is gathering steam, but Deutsche Bank is bucking that trend, telling employees they can stay home until the middle of next year. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
In a memo to staff, the bank said workers in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, quote, face the continuing balancing of your work and your children's sporadic school schedule, as well as concerns about public transportation, cleanliness, and quality of life issues amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Other Wall Street firms are seeking to bring more workers back to offices after sending most home earlier this year to help stem the spread of the coronavirus. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. Turning to financial markets now, we're seeing equity weakness following the Fed's latest policy decision. Some traders were hoping for signs in the central bank's approach to monthly bond purchases. That didn't happen, but Chairman Jay Powell is vowing to keep interest rates lower for longer.
Effectively, we're saying that rates will remain highly accommodative until the economy is far along in its recovery, and that should be a very powerful statement in supporting economic activity.
13 of 17 Fed officials forecast rates on hold for 3 years. Still, stocks fell after Powell discussed uncertainty about the rebound from the pandemic.
Up next is the Bank of England's turn. Policymakers there issue a decision at 7 a.m. Wall Street time. HSBC economist Liz Martin says two main items will weigh on the bank's outlook:
the increase in COVID cases and the headlines around Brexit. And the Bank of England is assuming a smooth transition to a comprehensive trade deal, and clearly the risks around that are rising.
While no change in policy is expected, we'll be watching the BOE for any hints of more stimulus. The vote split in meeting minutes will be key on that front.
And in Asia, the Bank of Japan left its aggressive monetary stimulus untouched. More from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner.
It's exactly what markets expected. The BOJ left its 10-year bond yield target unchanged at about 0%. Asset purchases were unchanged, and the policy rate was kept at a negative 10 basis points. At the same time, the BOJ raised its assessment, saying the economy has started to pick up, with activity resuming gradually. Even so, uncertainties are extremely high, given the impact of the virus. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Meantime, in China, souring ties with the U.S. is weighing on investment. Two-way investment between the U.S. and China slumped to the lowest level in almost 9 years during the first half of the year. The news comes as relations between the world's biggest two economies deteriorate and the pandemic hits sentiment.
And a final piece of corporate news we're watching. Sources tell us Uber is looking to sell part of its $6.3 billion stake in China's Didi ride-hailing service. The sale will be the latest of several from Uber. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 6:07 on Wall Street, and let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio ordered 5 days of furlough for about 500 members of his City Hall staff, including himself. De Blasio says employees can take the unpaid leave anytime during a six-month period beginning in October. The policy will affect everyone from administrative assistants to the mayor's top aides.
Throughout this crisis, they have not been working 35 or 40-hour weeks. They've been working 80-hour weeks, 90-hour weeks, 100-hour weeks, because they believe in this city and they've been fighting for all of you. So it is with pain that I say they and their families will lose a week's pay.
De Blasio said he would work without pay during his time off. The mayor also said a citywide furlough is on the table in union talks. The mayor had projected a $9 billion revenue shortfall through the fiscal year ending in June of 2022 because of lockdowns ordered amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Hurricane Sally lumbered ashore near the Florida-Alabama line yesterday with 105-mile-per-hour winds and rain measured in feet, not inches, killing at least one person. The death happened in Orange Beach, Alabama. Sally swamped homes and forced the rescue of hundreds as it pushed inland for what could be a slow and disastrous drenching across the deep south. Pensacola, Florida Mayor Grover Robinson says the COVID-19 pandemic forced the city to rethink its plan for sheltering people in danger from the storm, keeping them out of crowded shelters.
Shelters were not where we wanted people to go. We wanted people who had either friends or relatives on high ground to go there first. If you don't have anyone, then go to a shelter.
Sally tore loose a barge-mounted construction crane, which then smashed into a new bridge over Pensacola Bay, causing a section of the year-old span to collapse. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, a close ally of President Trump, is in a dead heat with his Democratic opponent Jamie Harrison less than 50 days before the election. The Quinnipiac University poll also found Republican Senator Susan Collins is trailing well behind Democrat Sarah Gideon in Maine. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stanshower.
Thanks, John. Just how hot are the Yankees right now? 7 wins in a row in their last 2 games. 33 runs, 13 home runs, 7 more last night. 3 by Kyle Higashioka, 2 by DJ LeMahieu. Clint Frazier homered, so did Luke Voit. Again, he leads the majors with 19, a 13-2 rout of the Blue Jays. And the Yanks are now healthy. Aaron Judge returned last night. In Philadelphia, the Mets trailed 4-1 in the sixth inning against ex-Met Zach Wheeler. A rare subpar start for Jacob deGrom. He was gone after 2 innings with an injured hamstring, but J.D. Davis led the comeback. 2-run homer in the sixth, RBI double in the eighth. Mets scored in the ninth. They beat the Phillies 5-4. Can the Islanders do it again? They stayed alive in Game 5 in double overtime. Tonight it's Game 6 with Tampa Bay leading 3-2. The Big Ten reversed course. It announced August 11th, no college football this year. And when there were protests, often led by the parents of players, the league insisted the decision would not be revisited. And then it was. And the Big Ten voted unanimously to start play October 24th with an 8-game season. Tiger Woods is up early this morning to tease off in just a couple of hours. It's a U.S. Open with no fans.
Unfortunately, this is our new reality. You know, this is something where we're getting used to. It's not something we like. We want the fans. We want the atmosphere out there. But, you know, safety is first.
Tiger, 3-time Open champ. But the clear favorite is Dustin Johnson, ranked number one. He's been red hot of late. Johnson played this afternoon. The 6th time the U.S. Open is being played at the historic and always challenging Wing Foot Course in the Mariner. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports.
John. All right, thanks, John. A pair of Manhattan-based law firms helped hedge fund mogul Steve Cohen and the Mets finally agree on a deal to purchase the team. Debevoise and Plimpton represented Cohen in the more than $2.4 billion acquisition. The team, owned for more than 3 decades by real estate investor Fred Wilpon Sterling Equities, is currently being advised by Davis, Polk, and Wardwell. A final sign-off on the deal requires the approval of at least 23 of Major League Baseball's 29 other team owners. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Registered investment advisors switch to IBKR's turnkey custody solutions. Lowest cost trading with no ticket charges, no custody fees, no minimums at IBKR.com/RIA. European stocks are falling along with U.S. stock index futures after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell stopped short of offering any concrete new steps on monetary stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 38 points, Dow futures down 273, NASDAQ futures down 115. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 7 cents at $40.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.2% or $23 at $19.47.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1794 against the dollar, British pound 1.2970, and the yen's at 104.73. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, hundreds of thousands of residents across the southern coast of the U.S. are beginning to assess the damage from Hurricane Sally. Docks were turned into driftwood, trees and power lines snapped like twigs. At least one person died in Alabama. Attorney General William Barr says the Black Lives Matter movement does not care about black lives, but instead wants to use African Americans who were killed at the hands of police as props to advance its political agenda. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won along with the Nationals and Orioles. The Red Sox lost. The A's beat the Rockies 3-1. The Giants winners. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 620 on Wall Street. And we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Seeing a stock sell-off this morning, is it related to the Fed's forecast or maybe something else? Our next guest is Tom Porcelli, Chief U.S. Economist for RBC. Help us see the light here. What's the narrative for investors this morning, Tom?
Hey, good morning. I think what happened yesterday probably had very little to do with the Fed. I mean, I think the Fed, with regard to the equity sell-off, I think the Fed was pretty clear. Monetary policy is going nowhere for years to come. So I find it difficult to digest the fact that the market toward the end of the day was responding to anything that the Fed said. I think going forward, look, you know, we've said this for quite some time. I think just beyond the Fed, you know, I think it's easy to say that the virus is in the driver's seat, but I think there's a nuance to this idea. I don't think it's just the virus that's in the driver's seat. I think it's the narrative around the virus that's in the driver's seat. And I think we can look back on, you know, sort of the rise in case count idea, which we think was an incomplete story, not the wrong story, an incomplete story. And what I mean by that specifically is, yes, case counts were rising in a few key states in particular back in July and August. But, you know, you could have, there was a real argument without getting into all the detail, although I'm happy to do it if you'd like. You know, I think there was a real argument to be made that, you know, we were managing the virus much better than we were just back in, you know, March in April. So again, depending how the narrative around the virus evolves, I think that is really going to dictate sort of the terms of economic activity. And that's why, you know, when you think about sort of like our forecast, our Q3 and Q4 forecast as an example, look, Q3 is going to be an incredibly strong quarter. I mean, you know, it could be easily plus 40% following the
well, and that's Q2. Much of that is given the because of the fact that it was at such a low level, it only had really one way to go, I suppose.
Well, sure, base effects are absolutely helping, but I mean, I don't think anyone should delude themselves into thinking that we don't actually have a lot of strength in the consumer right now.
What happened to retail sales, though? That was not
a
great number.
What happened to retail sales? I mean, it grew at almost a 1% clip. You know, control, if you include back in restaurant sales, which really, if you're trying to get a good sense for what's happening from a broad consumption perspective, that measure of control, inclusive of restaurants, rose at a 0.6% pace. So, again, so you tell me, where was it weak? It came in lighter than expectations, but expectations were pretty lofty. So, look, here's the reality. Even with this, let's just use your characterization. Let's say the soft retail sales report. Well, the soft retail sales report is going to get us a plus 40% consumer in Q3. Right? I mean, even if it comes in flat next month, right, to round out the quarter, you're still going to see plus 40%. So, you know, but again, beyond just Q3, because again, I think it's important to sort of advance the conversation from a growth perspective. I think the real challenge, and again, to my point on narrative, now let's fast forward to Q4. So ask me what my growth estimate is for Q4.
What's your growth estimate for Q4, Tom?
Thanks for playing along. It's plus 1%. Right, so now ask me where the tail risks are, and the tail risks are incredibly wide. Right, so and without getting into the quantitative, I'll give you two in qualitative terms. The qualitative tail risk, to define them in qualitative terms, the left tail risk, which of course is the negative tail risk, is April, and the right tail risk, which of course is the positive tail risk, is Q3. Right, so those are the risks. Those are the tail risks for Q4. And again, I think that goes to the narrative, right, around the virus, and of course the virus itself. So I think that's the real challenge from an economic perspective for the foreseeable quarters. Yeah. So you ask, you know, what investors should be focused on. I think that's still the focus.
Yeah, the CDC, we heard yesterday the testimony in the Senate that a disbursement of a vaccine late spring or summer of next year. Of course, the president contradicting that. Yep. Is that in the calculus for investors? Only about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I can give you 10 seconds. Yes, I think that people are braced. I think the market is braced for a vaccine sooner than later.
Okay. So right now, as far as the Federal Reserve and the focus on inflation running it a little, is there any inflation to be had out there?
No, and this is I'll try to do it in 20 seconds, but here's the reality. The Fed is trying to hit an inflation target that is almost impossible to hit. right? 2% is probably not the right inflation target, and it's not the right inflation target simply because we import so much disinflation into the United States. I mean, think about it. We've had a hard time hitting that target for years. So unless you change that inflation dynamic, right, the idea that we import so much disinflation, 2% will remain elusive.
Okay. And the 10-year break-even rate somewhere around 1.7%, I believe. Tom Porcelli, we appreciate your time today. Tom Porcelli with, where's Tom from? See me, Tom Porcelli again, a chief economist there. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And right now, futures in the red down, futures down 257 points. We're brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
At 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing global stocks fall after Jerome Powell highlighted uncertainty about the economic rebound. At the same time, the Fed chairman says policy will remain accommodative.
Effectively, we're saying that rates will remain highly accommodative until the economy is far along in its recovery. And that should be a very powerful statement in supporting economic activity.
13 out of 17 Fed officials see rates on hold for the next 3 years.
In Europe, the Bank of England makes a policy decision about 30 minutes while the Bank of Japan kept its asset purchases and bond yield unchanged.
We have several developments in the race for a vaccine. First, we're hearing President Trump once again promise a vaccine in a matter of weeks.
We're on track to deliver and distribute the vaccine in a very, very safe and effective manner. We think we can start sometime in October. So as soon as it is announced, we'll be able to start. That'll be from mid-October on.
That message, however, contradicts comments by Robert Redfield, director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
If you're asking me when is it going to be generally available to the American public so we can begin to take advantage of vaccine to get back to our regular life, I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
And President Trump said he called Redfield after his testimony to say his comments were incorrect.
Meantime, President Trump weighing in on the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok.
It has to be 100% as far as national security is concerned. And no, I'm not prepared to sign off on anything. I have to see the deal.
Now we have new details on the proposed partnership. Sources tell us Oracle would gain full access to TikTok's source code to make sure there are no back doors to gather data on American users. TikTok would also hire an independent board approved by the U.S. government.
Meantime, on Wall Street, the push for bankers to get back in the office is gathering steam, but Deutsche Bank is bucking that trend, telling employees they can stay home for another 9 months. The bank says staff in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut can keep working at home until July, when the company plans to leave its current offices for new headquarters in Manhattan's Columbus Circle. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 33 points, Dow futures down 229, NASDAQ futures down about 100. The 10-year Treasury up 6/30 seconds, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.2% or 6 cents at $40.22 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1.1%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio had some tough news for about 500 members of his City Hall staff.
As of October 1st, every mayor's office employee will be taking a furlough, and that obviously includes myself.
The move would cut mayor expenses by about $1 million out of an office budget of more than $88 billion. The mayor had projected a $9 billion revenue shortfall through the fiscal year ending in June of 2022. De Blasio said he may lay off 22,000 employees if the city does not get federal fiscal aid or state authority to borrow $5 billion for operating expenses. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says that YouTube stars who rented out the Jersey Shore house Monday should be taken to task after an estimated 1,000 people showed up, many flouting COVID-19 social distancing rules. Rivers swollen by Hurricane Sally's rains could mean more problems for parts of South Alabama and the Florida Panhandle. Sally had diminished to a tropical depression, but it was still a rainmaker as it moved into Georgia on a path to the Carolinas. In Pensacola, Florida, Mayor Grover Robinson urged residents to stay off the roads.
One of the biggest problems that our police department had today was getting cars that would drive into running water and get stuck. So it wasn't people who were trying to evacuate during the middle of the storm. It was people, sightseers, who wanted to get out after the storm.
As wildfires continue to burn in California, some progress is being made. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Progress in the northern part of the state, but still out-of-control fires in the south. And the governor says it has been an awful year.
3.37 million acres have burned so far in this calendar year. Last year, in the entire calendar year, just 277,000 acres.
And Newsom hit on climate change as a major contributor, saying there's been a steady increase in mean temperature over the past four decades. As well now, an investigation into Southern California Edison and whether a downed power line played a part in the major fires there. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The baseball postseason begins in a couple of weeks. The Yankees look ready. They are healthy. First, Giancarlo Stanton returned to the lineup, and now Aaron Judge. They've won seven in a row. The night after scoring 20 runs, they came back with 13. Blue Jays scored two. Kyle Higashioka, who had hit seven Major League home runs, hit three last night. And you have to wonder if he won't supplant Gary Sanchez as the starting catcher. Sanchez is batting 134. DJ LeMahieu is batting 373. He had two more home runs last night, an easy win for Garrett Cole. The Mets ace, Jacob deGrom, with his worst start of the year, probably due to an injured hamstring that forced him out after two innings. Mets came from 4-1 down. They beat the Phillies 5-4. The Dodgers at 35-15 have already clinched a playoff berth the eighth year in a row. Islanders and Lightning game six tonight. Tampa Bay leads the series 3-2. Jets owner Christopher Johnson says coach Adam Gase has a brilliant offensive mind, and Gase has his full confidence. Jets Sunday host the 49ers. It's the sixth time the U.S. Open has been held at historic Wingfoot in Mamaroneck, starting with a Bobby Jones victory back in 1929. In three of the last four Opens there, the winning score has been over par. World number one Dustin Johnson recently won a tournament with a score of 30 under par. He knows that won't happen this weekend.
I haven't played in a tournament yet, but so far it seems very, very hard. And, you know, one of the harder ones I've ever played. So, but, you know, it's fair. You know, there's nothing real tricky about it. You just got to hit good shots.
Johnson plays his opening round this afternoon. Tiger Woods tees off at 8 o'clock this morning. John Stanshaler, Bloomberg Sports. John.
John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
One more bill. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Congress wants to get out of town, and it seems pretty clear there's only one train going anywhere. The bill that is going to pass, that must pass to avoid a shutdown, is a temporary measure to fund the government beyond the current drop-dead date at the end of September. Leaders in both chambers have already agreed to a clean bill, containing nothing but continuing funding at current levels for now. Very simple in theory. But since it's the last train, every member of Congress with a bill that he or she thinks needs to pass immediately wants to hitch it to this continuing resolution. This is how clean bills can get messy very quickly. Still, appropriators and party leaders have plenty of experience batting such things away. And the bottom line is that no one wants a shutdown. The history is clear. There's never been an extended government shutdown unless one side really wants it. So expect some bumps, but no shutdown this time. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers, you can read more at OPIN Go. Still ahead today, we're going to get the latest reading on weekly jobless claims. Economists predict they drifted lower with workers filing 850,000 claims. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Jobless claims will get a lot of attention because last week was the September employment survey week. Claims the past 2 weeks have suggested the labor market has slowed, if not stalled. The numbers may be influenced by wildfires in the West, a move to virtual schooling in many parts of the country, and the short-term impact of an additional $300 a month supplementary jobless benefit in some states. On the other hand, more analysts are suggesting the claims data is distorted by antiquated state filing systems and outright fraud. So the actual level of claims may not matter as much as the direction and magnitude of any change. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And turning to corporate news now, it was quite a Wall Street debut for Snowflake. Shares of the software company more than doubled, giving it a market value above $70 billion. Here with more on the IPO, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Snowflake's $3.36 billion IPO is a record for a software company and the biggest in the U.S. this year. Its share price soared as much as 166%, minting fortunes across the company and across Silicon Valley. Shares of the cloud data software maker opened at $245, more than double its IPO price. Snowflake ended the session up 111%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Uber is looking to sell part of its $6.3 billion stake in Chinese ride-hailing service Didi. Bloomberg News has learned that Uber is starting to monetize stakes in other companies in an effort to boost its own share price. Uber is trading below the price at which it went public back in May of 2019. But right now, S&P futures 34 points lower. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The sports report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling along with U.S. stock index futures after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell stopped short of offering any concrete new steps on monetary stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 38 points. Dow futures down 260. Nasdaq futures down 143. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, down 2 cents at $40.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.1% or $22.20 at $19.48.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1789 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2965, and the yen 104.75. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, at least one person is dead after Hurricane Sally made its slow trek in the south. Sally crawled ashore near the Florida-Alabama line yesterday as a Category 2 hurricane with rain measured in feet. Sally cast boats onto land or sank them at the dock, peeled away roofs, and knocked out power to more than 540,000 homes and businesses. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot. It is coming up at 6:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Right now, time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump rebutting doctors and says the vaccine will be given widely in October. Republicans divided again on stimulus, this time by President Trump. And Attorney General Barr says Black Lives Matter doesn't care about black lives. And a combat pilot face-off is putting Democrats on the path to gain an Arizona seat. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Let's start with the experts and President Trump. They're on different sides of the vaccine timetable.
Exactly. And I think that we've repeatedly seen President Trump talking about a much more ambitious, a much shorter time frame for getting the vaccine not only approved, but widely distributed to the American public than what we've seen the experts and the scientists talking about. And so that's a tension that we know does exist to the point where the FDA is doubling down internally on its guidelines to sort of make sure that the political pressures don't impede on its efforts to review any potential vaccines. The president significantly has repeatedly cited October as a time frame to potentially have the vaccine rolled out to a significant part of the U.S. population. I think it's not coincidental that October is ahead of the November 3rd election. So I think that that's really a dynamic to keep watching going forward.
After the head of the CDC testified yesterday, maybe late spring or summer of next year for a vaccine, the president phoned him. What do you suppose that conversation sounded like?
Well, I think there's a lot of us that would have really loved to have been on fly on the wall for that conversation. We know the president doesn't look kindly on experts, particularly those that he views as part of his administration or that work for him, who disagree publicly with, you know, what he is saying publicly. And so I think this is potentially another example of that. Of course, we don't know exactly what was said on the call, but I can't imagine that Trump was pleased.
Yeah. The next story, Republicans divided again on a stimulus plan, this time by President Trump. I got to imagine a lot of Republican lawmakers' mouths were left agape yesterday after what happened.
Yeah. I think that, you know, really, it's been very difficult on the Republican side to get the White House and the various members of the Republican conference, particularly in the Senate, singing off the same sheet of music. And it looked like that about a week ago had happened when Republicans in the Senate came together behind their quote-unquote skinny stimulus bill, which was a very pared-back version of a previous proposal they'd put forward. And what happened yesterday is that the president essentially came out and said he supported or he looked kindly upon the idea of a bipartisan proposal that's been to the tune of about $1.5 trillion that's been put forth in the House. And that's significantly more than Republicans in the Senate are looking at. And so that sort of throws a pretty big monkey wrench back into the works in terms of figuring out where Republicans are going to be in their negotiations with Democrats.
The Attorney General says that Black Lives Matter doesn't care about black lives. What is Mr. Barr saying?
Well, what the Attorney General had to say last night in these comments that did spark some controversy is that essentially the broader Black Lives Matter movement is using, Black Americans who are killed at the hands of police. He characterized that as a very small number a year and is using them as props to advance its broader political agenda. Obviously, that's something that, you know, sparked a pretty big, response from supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement, but it does demonstrate and is somewhat in line with what we've heard coming out of this administration.
Finally, let's do some down balloting here. Combat pilot face-off puts Democrats on path to gain an Arizona seat. How many toss-up states are there right now in the Senate races?
Well, you know, obviously Democrats are looking to try to regain the majority that they lost several years ago to Republicans. It looks like Arizona is their best chance of picking up a seat. This is where Martha McSally, who's a Republican, is. She was appointed to that seat 2 years ago. She, therefore, obviously running as an incumbent, but she's viewed as potentially vulnerable to Mark Kelly, who is the husband of former Representative Gabrielle Giffords from Arizona. And Mark Kelly himself, you know, has lots of deep ties to the Democratic Party and also is a good fundraiser and, you know, has his own record similar to McSally. She's a retired Air Force pilot. He was former space shuttle commander. So they have kind of similar resumes, and it looks like it's shaping up to be an interesting race.
I love the fact that it's Air Force veteran versus Navy veteran. All right, Kathleen, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Kathleen Hunter. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Justice Department has revealed previously sealed indictments of five Chinese hackers and two Malaysian businessmen accused of intrusions that hit more than 100 companies in the U.S. and abroad. The department said targets of the attacks included software development companies, computer hardware manufacturers, telecommunications providers, social media companies, and video game companies. Facebook is teaming up with the maker of Ray-Ban to develop smart glasses that would let wearers use apps to connect to their friends and family. Founder Mark Zuckerberg announced the link up with EssilorLuxottica, the world's largest maker of eyewear, at Facebook's annual conference on new technologies. The two companies are aiming to succeed in a field marked by the flop of Google Glass. And it's a holiday showdown. Sony's PlayStation 5 video game console will go on sale November 12th. The cost, $500, the same as Microsoft's upcoming Xbox Series X. Price tends to be a significant factor in the success of a video game console. Historically, the less expensive systems sell more units, driving an increase in revenue from games. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. The pandemic has forced a new normal on small retailers across the country, with social distancing measures limiting in-store shoppers. Well, for over 30 years, Anna Anagnos has been the owner and sole employee of Eat Your Spinach Boutique, selling kids' clothing in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Her store is now open again after being shut for 4 months. We first touched base back in May, and Anna rejoins us this morning. How are you keeping yourself and your customers safe?
Well, I pretty much work very limited people in the store, one or two at a time, with social distancing and masks being part of it.
Now, has that worked out okay?
Yes. Everyone is so into the safety of their health that I'm not having any problems with people. Everyone has been so great.
So how has the business impacted since the pandemic was struck?
I'm getting by. It's definitely not like the way it used to be. You know, this is the way it is now. And I do notice a lot of companies are late with their fall shipping. So things are not coming in as fast as they should have been.
What's the revenue decrease that you've seen pre-pandemic to right now?
About 50%.
Wow, so it's been cut in half. Is that something you can sustain going forward?
For me, I can, because I work by myself. I mean, at some point, I might have to get a part-time job.
Well, let's hope not. All right, Anna. Anna Anagnos, owner of Eat Your Spinach Boutique, kids' clothing store in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And we're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That is the Bloomberg Small Business Report for today. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are lower this morning, down 41 points. Dow futures down 270. NASDAQ futures down 166. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 4 cents at $40.20 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 1.1% or $22 at $19.48.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1796 against the dollar. The yen this morning is at 104.73. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.